live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. Donal Cavra at the Highland Radio News Desk. In this bulletin, Bank of Ireland plans to close 5 branches in Donegal, Bunbeg, Bundoran, Dunlow, Lenties and Moville. North of the border, branches will close in Derry, Strabane and Limavady. We'll hear from Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty. The EU is to consider proposals for a digital vaccine passport later this month. The digital green pass would provide proof of vaccinations. New laws on mandatory hotel quarantine have now passed all stages in the Oireachtas. The legislation now goes to the President for signature. The Health Minister, meanwhile, denies that the proposed new laws on mandatory hotel quarantine are just window dressing. And later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with the sports news that's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the decision of Bank of Ireland to close 5 of its branches in Donegal. Bunbeg, Bundoran, Dunlow, Lenties and Moville are the branches to close. Donegal will see the 4th highest number of closures nationwide, following Dublin, Cork and Limerick. North of the border, branches will close in Derry City, Strabane and in Limavady. Well, Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty believes that this has been planned for some time.
What appears to have been, you know, a dry run, which was when the bank announced the closure, temporary closure last year of a number of these branches, 4 out of the 5 that are being closed permanently now in Donegal were closed temporarily last year, and they used the guise of COVID to close them during the first wave of the pandemic. But it appears now that that was nothing more than a dry run to actually permanently take these branches and these services out of the community. And I think it's appalling that the Bank of Ireland has announced this today. And I think that there needs to be whatever interventions can be made from the Minister for Finance to the Central Bank. You know, that the Minister isn't a bystander here. He is the major, one of the major shareholders within that bank on behalf of the people, because remember, that bank wouldn't exist today if it wasn't for the fact that 4.7 billion euro of taxpayers' money was put into it. So, like, this is not good. And, you know, Francesca McDonagh, as CEO of the bank, can talk about how people aren't using the branches. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous what she came out with, to tell you the God's honest truth, Greg. She actually said that there was a drop in people using the branches over the last 12 months. Well, we've been in a pandemic for the last 12 months. For a large portion of that, people have been restricted to 5 kilometres of their own home. For others, they have been cocooning or isolating. And for others, they have been asked to avoid all non-essential travelling, including banking, if possible. And that's no excuse to actually take these branches out of the community.
And that was Deputy Piers Doherty speaking on today's 9 till noon show. Well, West Donegal is said to be hardest hit by the decision. 3 of the 5 branches are set to shut in that area. Local councillor Micheál Colum-Glasbach has heavily criticised the announcement.
West Donegal has been hit once again by more closures. I think it's a total disrespect towards rural community that the Bank of Ireland has again put profit before people. And I suppose when you look back at what's happened in West Donegal and other rural parts throughout the county with the closure of our post offices, and granted they're amalgamating what some services been still provided when the post office, but the reality is this is a total disrespect towards rural Ireland, and we've been left behind again, and the same service will not be provided, I believe, through the post office.
Councillor Micheál Colum-Glasbach there. Well, Sinn Féin has announced details of a number of public meetings to take place via Zoom next week to discuss the planned Bank of Ireland closures, and full details of that are on our website, highlandradio.com. The meetings to be facilitated by Deputy Piers Doherty and local councillors in each area. The EU will consider proposals for a digital vaccine passport later this month. A digital green pass would provide proof of COVID vaccination and test details for those who haven't received a jab. The aim is to facilitate travel for work and tourism in the EU. EU Commission Vice President Margaritas Schinas says work is underway to finalise the legal aspects of the plan.
Our ambition, as the President herself announced, is to be ready in time for the next meeting of the European Council. We have penciled in the date of 17th of March. This will be a legal proposal. It would have a strong digital component.
New laws on mandatory hotel quarantine have now passed all stages in the Oireachtas. The legislation is now heading to Orisanoak Throne for the signature of President Michael D. Higgins. Meanwhile, the Health Minister has denied proposed new laws on hotel quarantine are just window dressing. He was speaking during today's final Shannon debate on the legislation, which will make it mandatory for people coming from 33 countries deemed high risk to quarantine in a hotel for 2 weeks. Minister Stephen Donnelly rejected criticism in the Oireachtas that the measure doesn't go far enough.
There was, however, a lot of dramatic language used, entirely incorrect language, around this being window dressing, around the government not being serious about this, people describing it as a sham. And I want to just restate this in the House. Ireland will be the only country in the European Union bringing in a system of mandatory quarantining like this.
138 people tested positive for coronavirus in Northern Ireland over the past 24 hours. There have been two additional COVID-related deaths. 302 patients now being treated for the disease in hospital, with 34 in ICU. Meanwhile, in the UK, across the board, latest daily figures reveal a further 104 people have died within 28 days of testing positive for COVID-19. A further 5,455 cases have been confirmed. Figures do tend to be lower on Mondays because of delays in reporting them. Nearly 20.3 million people have received their first dose of a vaccine in the UK. That's a rise of around 186,000 on yesterday. North of the border, 559,000 COVID-19 vaccines have been administered, 33,000 second doses. Over 426,000 jabs had been administered in the Republic by Friday. The North started its rollout 3 weeks earlier. The South University Healthcare Group, meanwhile, is currently recruiting staff to support the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccination programme in the Republic. The group is looking for clinical staff in the Northwest who are eligible to administer vaccines for an initial 3 month contract, which could be extended. With more, here's Greg Hughes.
Specifically, Saelta are looking for registered healthcare professionals, including nurses, midwives, doctors, advanced paramedics, paramedics, emergency technicians and pharmacists who are available to work in the COVID-19 vaccination programme. They are also recruiting healthcare assistants and administrative staff to support the vaccination centres. Staff will be requested to work a minimum of 19.5 and a maximum of 39 hours per week. Donegal's mass vaccination centre will be located at LYIT in Letterkenny, and the vaccination programme will run 7 days a week over a 12-hour day. It's been described as one of the biggest immunisation programmes ever undertaken in the country. Saelta will provide the training necessary, and every member of the vaccination team will be given the COVID-19 vaccine.
The vice chair of the Garda Representative Association says weekend scenes in Dublin warrant early vaccination for Gardaí. Three Gardaí were injured during the anti-lockdown, anti-mask rally in the capital on Saturday, resulting in members of the force facing increased exposure. The vice president of the GRA is Donegal-based Garda Brendan O'Connor. He says the job is unpredictable, and in many cases, Gardaí can't carry out their duties while staying 2 metres apart from either colleagues or the general public. He says it's in everyone's best interest that Gardaí are prioritised in the vaccine rollout.
We're not trying to bump up a list or push anyone out of the way, but certainly when the priority list has been drawn up, we would see our people as being very high on the priority. And that isn't an average day, but it just shows you what policing can involve and the need for to protect the Gardaí. And particularly, I mean, those Gardaí are going back to regular policing today. They might have been at a protest yesterday. They'll be in a station going to calls, maybe assisting with community engagement. So certainly, it's in the interest of everyone that vaccination is prioritised and given early to Gardaí.
And as you sort of touched on there, there's no other line of work probably nationwide that can be so unpredictable and maybe potentially result in those scenes that we did see in Dublin at the weekend.
Well, look, the advice is very simple to everybody. Wash your hands, wear your mask, keep your distance. We don't have that luxury. We don't have the ability to do that. Now, there are other professions and other jobs where you have to meet members of the public. There's also places where you're in close proximity. But we think that the range of situations and the exposures to our members is on a different level, and they've so little control over what they're going to be exposed. And we even saw how the policing reacts. Even those who were on the protest duty, they had to be resources to be drawn in from across the city. So everyone on regular policing duty, just on response cars across the city, they found themselves in the middle of that. So yes, the unpredictability and the lack of control over environment makes us unique in our eyes, and we think it makes absolute sense, and no one has put forward a coherent argument that we can take and understand why we wouldn't be but very much considered for early vaccination.
Brendan O'Connor of the GRA. He's the vice president of that organisation. Horse racing trainers will face checks on their animals when they return to Dublin Port from the Cheltenham Festival. The Department of Agriculture says it will be part of new regulations on livestock, which were introduced after the UK left the EU. The racing festival takes place from the 16th to the 19th of March. Hazel Sheridan from the Department of Agriculture says trainers should know the additional requirements ahead of time.
There's a requirement for advance notification, and the horses are coming back into the country, and there'll be a requirement in relation to health certification. There are details in relation to that on our website, and it's really important that people be familiar with those and that they just be ready that the horses will have to stop in the port for a check.
Well, more than 2,000 Leaving Cert students in Donegal returned to the classroom this morning for the first time this year. Children in the first 4 years of primary school were also back at their desks today. The government plans to allow other years and classes return on a phased basis over the next 6 weeks if COVID-19 is kept under control. Well, these local primary school children were delighted to be back.
My name is Naya and I am 6 and a half, and I'm really excited to go back to Ocean School today. I really am excited to see my teacher and my friends.
My name's Leah. I'm in first class in Lurgy Brack National School. I can't wait to see my teacher and all my friends. I can't wait to do schoolwork at school.
The Scottish Conservative Party has lodged a motion of no confidence against the Deputy First Minister in a bid to force the publication of legal advice given to the Scottish Government. A committee looking at the handling of harassment complaints against Alex Salmond say they want to see the advice given ahead of a judicial review in 2019. That found their complaints procedure was unlawful and tainted with bias and cost the taxpayer £600,000 in legal fees. The Scottish Government has so far refused to hand over the documents. Donegal County Council is being urged to promote Buncrana as a top seaside tourist destination. It's thought there could be a particular emphasis on the shorefront, enhancing existing facilities while also introducing new amenities, which it's hoped would entice more visitors to the area. Local councillor Jack Murray has written to the council requesting a special meeting on the matter. He says while Buncrana already has a lot to offer, there is potential for more.
One thing over the pandemic, people have got out and really, really appreciated just how beautiful the area that we live in is. And people often reflect that we should be doing more to attract visitors. And we know now that in the near future, staycations are going to be the big thing for most people in Ireland. And there's no reason, I believe, that Buncrana shouldn't be the top seaside town in the country for people to visit. It's a truly beautiful town. So I've written to the Chief Executive and Director of Service to ask for a meeting to see how we can greater enhance the facilities in Buncrana. The likes of the toilet facilities there at the shorefront, I think when you look at Rathmullen or Malin Head and the top-class modern facilities that they have, there's no reason that the largest seaside town in the county shouldn't have something similar. And when you reflect back at what Buncrana used to have, we used to have the putting greens and the likes of the diving board down in Buncrana. We should be looking at what we can put in the shorefront to make people say that I'll go there on my holidays and I'll stay there for a week. And there's no reason we shouldn't do that.
And arguably, you also have a big asset there already that can be capitalised on, the Swilly Ferry. They're taking even people from other parts of the county into Buncrana as well.
Absolutely. It's a blessing and people love it. It really brings forward the seaside and just enjoying the coastal the town that we're in. And of course, too, we'll have the Buncrana swimming pool should be completed in the next 2 years. So in anticipation of that, we'll have a swimming pool there, we'll have the shorefront with the play park, the tennis courts down there, like obviously the coffee van, and like we can do so much more. Like, it's an absolute godsend what we have, but we should always be looking to what we can do better, and we should always be ambitious for what our town can deliver.
And that's Jack Murray there speaking to Catherine Gaffney on the situation with regards to promoting more tourism in Buncrana. Just want to clarify those meetings next week to take place via Zoom to discuss the closure of Bank of Ireland branches. Bunbeg and Moville will be discussed on Monday, Bundoran and Dunloe on Tuesday, and Glenties on Wednesday. And as I said, full details and links to those meetings on our website, highlandradio.com.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie. Shop 24/7 with nationwide next day delivery.
16 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. Horse Racing Ireland say disciplinary proceedings have begun relating to Gordon Elliott. The Grand National winning trainer apologised for any offence caused after a photo emerged of him taking a call while sitting on a dead horse. HRI say they condemn the disgusting photograph and are supporting the IHRB investigation into the matter. Giggistown House stud owner Michael O'Leary says he will continue to support Elliot. Former winning Gold Cup and Grand National jockey Mick Fitzgerald says the incident paints the sport in a bad light.
I can't help but feel anything else, but like, I felt so sad because the number one thing that we have to get out to everybody is how much we care about these horses.
In soccer, Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny has been dealt a blow with the news that Jack Byrne has been ruled out for up to 3 months. The APL Nicosia midfielder will have surgery today to repair a herniated disc, according to his club. Ireland begin their World Cup campaign later this month with games against Serbia and Luxembourg. Robbie Keane has played down speculation that he has joined the Shamrock Rovers coaching team for the new season. Keane was in the Rovers dugout for yesterday's pre-season friendly against Cork City. However, the former Republic of Ireland assistant coach says he's only been involved with the club on a voluntary basis in recent weeks. Keane is still an employee of the FAI, with the new CEO Jonathan Hill saying last week he intends to find a new role in the association for the country's record goal scorer. Cross-channel Everton manager Carlo Ancelotti says his team must stop slipping up against sides in the Premier League's bottom half. They face one such club tonight when they host Southampton. Ancelotti's men go into the game having beaten Liverpool, but they recently lost to Fulham and Newcastle. The Italian says it shows how competitive the top flight is.
Honestly, if I have to see what happened until now, I have to say I have to be worried because we are going to play again the teams that are at the bottom and where we had more problems.
Kickoff time to that game tonight is at 8 o'clock. Plenty of debate and reaction to some of the changes that are to arise from the GAA's General Congress, which was held over the weekend. There was a number of appointments for Donegal Gaels in different committees which were released over the last few days. Our very own Martin McHugh is set to join the GAA's new Central Competitions Control Committee. The former Donegal player and GAA pundit is part of the new committee appointed by GAA President Larry McCarthy. The grouping has responsibility for scheduling and arranging games under the control of Central Council. Former County Chairman Sean Dunyan has been named on the Central Hearings Committee, with Buncrana's Julia Galbraith on the Central Appeals Committee. And Michelle Bennett has also been appointed onto the National Referees Development Committee. It's expected that there could be further Donegal appointments on other committees announced in the coming days. And finally in rugby, Craig Casey is one of 13 players who has been released from the Ireland camp to play for the provinces this week. The Munster scrum half made his international debut off the bench in the win over Italy on Saturday. Andrew Conway, Bundy Aki, Ross Byrne and Josh van der Flair are some of the others that are returning to their provinces. And that's it from the Highland Radio Sports Desk for today, Donal. We'll have more tomorrow morning just after the 8:30 news.
Thank you, Washy. Irish Water is being urged to give a definitive date as to when sewage problems will be addressed on Glencar Road in Letterkenny. A local councillor says there have been issues now for a number of years with some gardens being flooded regularly with a combination of water and raw sewage. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh says he's made representations to Irish Water, as have others, but so far nothing's been done. He believes it's time that there was progress.
I know we're in lockdown and that, but this problem has been going on for such a long time. It's gone on now for years, so we need to get it sorted and need to get a definite answer from Irish Water as to when it's going to be done, because we can't really expect people to go on living with that condition and that happening on a regular basis to them.
The coach and secretary of Calais Football Club is pleading with a number of groups in the area to stop playing football on the club grounds. The pitch is said to be destroyed as a result of an ongoing problem with the club closed under level 5. Those responsible are, they say, trespassing. It's understood the group in question isn't connected with the club. It's hoped that training may resume next month, but the current condition of the pitch is said to be unfit for use. Seamus Conning made an appeal on today's 9 till noon show.
There's youth gathering on the pitch playing football, which we've absolutely really no problem with. See, it's great to see young boys out, like, but we're getting texts and calls asking us, are you training? Which we're replying, no, we're not. It's great to see young boys getting out. But the big problem for us is going to be is the state the pitch is going to be left on for when we hopefully get back next month. This other problem in this here is these boys are climbing over a fence, which we have to have up for insurance purposes. If anything happens to these boys on the field, we're not covered. We've paid over 700 quid in insurance this year to cover our players, and some of our teams only played 6 games of football last year. We want these boys to stop and give our pitch a chance, and they give us a chance. We're not generating any revenue. It's a tough time for us all. And don't get us wrong, it was great to see boys out playing football. It's brilliant, you know, because I have 2 kids of my own, and they're locked down as well. But it's frustrating whenever we can't get on the field, but there's groups of boys that are on the field, and they're damaging. We wouldn't even be training on it at this stage of year.
Every county in the country has seen a decrease in the number of people staying within 10 kilometres of their homes. Over a third of the population are breaking that limit. Owen Murphy has more.
The Central Statistics Office says 64.8% of the population stayed within 10 kilometres of their homes in the week that ended on February the 19th. That's down almost 2% on the previous week. Every county recorded a decrease ranging from 3% in Mayo to 1.1% in Donegal and Wicklow. Dublin continues to be the county with the highest percentage of people staying local at 78%. The lowest was Roscommon at 50%, meaning 1 in 2 people went more than 10 kilometres from their homes. Mayo was only marginally better at 50.2%.
Well, the biggest number of COVID fines issued by Gardaí in Donegal has been for those leaving home without a reasonable excuse. It comes as the number of fines issued for COVID-19 regulation breaches in the county has now surpassed 300. The Gardaí Donegal division says they will be maintaining strict checkpoints in the coming weeks ahead of the Easter bank holiday weekend. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
Gardaí and Donegal have confirmed that 54 €150 COVID-related fines have been issued to people for attending an unauthorised event or gathering, including house parties in recent weeks. As of last Friday, a total of 330 fixed charge notices have so far been issued by Gardaí in the county. The data also shows that almost 3/4 of those fines were issued to people who left home without a reasonable excuse, with 233 people receiving a €100 fine, while 2 people were fined €500 for organising an unauthorised event or gathering, including house parties. Meanwhile, 2 €80 fines were issued for not wearing a face covering in a designated premises. A further 22 fines were issued to individuals who are not ordinarily a resident in the country. Gardaí are also reminding the public to stay within their 5 km limit, and that checkpoints will be continuing across the county, with additional locations to be added in the weeks ahead.
Well, the forecast and Met Éireann tell us it'll stay dry and bright for the moment with light easterly to southeasterly breezes. Tonight will be dry with a generally clear sky, a risk of frost developing in sheltered places, mist and fog forming overnight, becoming dense in some pockets towards dawn. Lowest overnight temperatures -1 to +2 degrees Celsius, light easterly or variable breezes. Tomorrow Tuesday, dry with a mix of sunny spells and variable cloud. Highest temperatures 6 to 8 degrees Celsius in light to moderate easterly or variable breezes. Looking at the headlines this evening, Bank of Ireland plans to close 5 branches in Donegal, Bunbeg, Bundoran, Dunloe, Glenties and Moville. North of the border, branches will close in Derry, Strabane and Limavady. The EU is considering proposals for a digital vaccine passport scheme later this month. The digital green pass would provide proof of COVID vaccination and test details for those who haven't yet received a jab. And new laws on mandatory hotel quarantine have now passed all stages in the Iraq. This legislation is now heading to President Michael D. Higgins for signature. Meanwhile, the health minister told a Shannon debate today that the new laws on the mandatory hotel quarantine are not just window dressing. He said they're the most stringent laws of their kind in the European Union. We're back with news headlines again at 6. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday, the 1st of March. The death has taken place of Breed Hannigan, née Ward, Iona Road, Letterkenny, and formerly of Glen Finn, Donegal. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning in St Eunan's Cathedral, followed by burial in the family plot in Newleck Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director, Letterkenny. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are strictly private to immediate family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. The death has occurred of Peter McNeilis, Lochmulch, Brooklis, formerly of Ard Connell, and Cumann Ardra. Removal from McCabe's funeral home, Cumann Bridge, Ardra, tomorrow morning at 20 to 11, going to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for funeral mass at 11 o'clock, followed by private cremation in Lakeland's crematorium, Cavan, at 3. Peter's funeral mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv/Church of the Holy Family, Ardra. Donations, if desired, to the RNLI, care of Derek McCabe, funeral director, Ardra. Due to government and HSE guidelines, removal, funeral mass and cremation are strictly private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has occurred of Bernadette Cullen, Earl's Court, London, named McIntyre, formerly of Mallinbeg, Glencullum Kill. Due to government restrictions, houses are strictly private to family only, please. Interment will take place at a later date in London. The death has occurred of Annie Byrne, 39, Conlon Road, Killybegs, County Donegal. Her remains are reposing at her daughter Nuala Knox's residence at Old Fintra Road, Killybegs. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 via Lisnaclea and Conlon Road for 11 o'clock funeral mass in the Church of St Mary of the Visitation, Killybegs. Mass will be streamed live on mcnmedia.tv with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Due to current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Killybegs Community Hospital, care of any family member or McBrearty funeral directors. The death has occurred of Anne McGarvey, née McCarry, Maharat Cloy, St Johnson, formerly of Glasgow, originally from Carrigart. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to immediate family only, please. Anne's remains will repose at Kelly's funeral home, Oakfield Rafoe, from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock this evening, with rosary at 6. Funeral leaving Kelly's tomorrow morning at 9:30, going to the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, for 11 o'clock requiem mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed on the Meva Parish Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Kelly Funeral Directors, Oakfield, Rafoe.